Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link. Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning into another episode of the Agency Toolkit Podcast. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin, and today I have with me Remy Turcotte, who is the owner of Turco Marketing. So today we're going to be discussing Remy's journey of starting his agency. We'll be talking about some challenges he's had to overcome along the way and how he works to just, you know, continue to build and grow his agency. So thank you for joining us today, Remy.
Hey, it's a pleasure. Thank you, Julia, for having me.
Absolutely. So to get started, I'd love to know, you know, what really motivates or inspires you as an agency owner?
Well, I think that the essence of running an agency, I guess it starts with having a love of working for clients or having the desire to help organizations to improve their situation. So I think that what motivates me at the end of the day is really like to be able to make a difference in my market and being able to make organizations and clients shine, and that what generates my joy at the end of the day.
Yeah, I love it. And then, so how did you get into digital marketing?
Well, I studied in multimedia when I was in college, and I was very interested into like developing stuff, programming stuff. And at first, I was initially like interested in going into like a video game company, and then the web arrived. So that was like around in the early 2000s. So that tells you my age a little bit. And when I started my first job, it was like a web affiliate marketing platform that mm-hmm. was worldwide. And everything was so new, everything was so to be built, and I started to develop my passion around everything that touches the web. And I was like, oh my God, there's so much to do. Everything is so exciting. Everything is so raw, unregulated. And so that was an environment that was very inspiring for me. And then like working as a developer in the first years, and PHP developer, I started to have more an excitement towards how to rank on search, how to, like that big thing that's called Google that appeared at some point. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my God, this is so crazy how people are ranking. Because, you know, like when you were getting your site up there for competitive keywords, you got like loads of traffic. And that's basically how my first job, the business was running on. It was really running mostly on search traffic. I was like, wow, they're thriving just with digital assets, technology, and some tactics here and there. And I was like, okay, I have to get into SEO. I have to learn everything about it. And so my passion about SEO really like started around 2004, 2005. Mm-hmm. And I haven't stopped ever since. I think that it's still a motivating area. So the community is great, you know, like it's always changing. And it's always where it's going, the industry is always going towards like making a better experience for for the client, so the client being like a search user, for example, and so all that advancement that's happening in that industry really keeps me going at the end of the day and really drives my passion for SEO and then I would say digital marketing as a whole, because now it's really like it touches like my scope is more enlarged now around close to 20 years later and really now I touch every facet of digital marketing, mostly paid search as well, and now paid social, so being like mm-hmm. TikTok and Facebook and basically user experience. So really there's so much that's motivating in the digital marketing world that I don't feel that I'm going to retire anytime soon.
Yes, it's definitely growing and evolving at a very rapid pace. So yeah, you definitely need to have that passion behind what you do to really help you keep up.
I was like, oh, I'm getting old. Like, I'm like in my 40s now. And I'm like, I'm gonna, you know, like I have some friends that started their online businesses like 10 years ago, let's say. And now they're more like doing administrative tasks, and that, which is the case for me as well. But like what I'm saying is that I was like, oh, I think I need to kind of step out and like do something else, da da da, and then like you got some exciting stuff like GPT, OpenAI that comes out, and then oh my god, OpenAI is so exciting! I have to jump into this, you know. So there's always something that keeps me going. It's like it's a very beautiful relationship that I have with work.
I love it. That's awesome. And then, so I would love to learn more about your story of starting Turco Marketing. So what was that deciding factor that you were going to start Turco Marketing, and you know, what was it like in those early days?
So I'm a production guy. So I'm a guy that really is in the trenches normally. And like I've basically worked always as the kind of the expert kind of guy for either on the client side or the agency side. And quickly, I had during my career, I worked for several other agencies and clients on the client side, and often like I quickly had teams to manage. So I've developed my leadership skills, let's say, with time, because I had like positions that made me like being in charge of teams, and this is where I got more of a quickly I got an over I had to answer challenges in terms of capacity and production, and so this is something that came on my shoulders more than me going towards that direction.
Okay.
And at some point, like I got happy and comfortable with it, and I got excited of it, like managing teams and coordinating production and like being able to oversee a portfolio of clients and stuff like that. So I got kind of comfortable and good at it, and I knew where I was going with that. And I still have a lot to learn when it comes to team management, because I'm more of a technical guy, and that's more on the production side. So everything that's human skills, I'm learning on top. You know, like this is new for me, or it's been like a journey for me. And I really the switch from going from an employee to an employer is basically, I was like an agency for several years, and like I was seeing that I was able to manage the whole department by myself, closing leads, managing staff, hiring, firing. So I was like, oh my God, I'm like really like doing everything at this point. And mm-hmm. there was no, the situation at that time where at my last work was that there was no advancement possibilities for me. The vision was going in a different way than I was envisioning things for the future. And this is when I just like say in 2015, okay, I'll start my own thing. And honestly, it was nothing at the end. it was more of a transitionary idea of like, oh, I'm going to do this for a few years and then I'm going to be like, I'm going to find something else, you know, and now
right.
It's been 7 years. We're a little bit more, we got some good things going on and I'm happy. I'm never going to look back on that, on that side, right now.
I love it. That's so awesome. And then, so I would love to know how your strategy for bringing in leads has evolved. You know, how did you bring in those first few clients versus what your strategy is today for bringing in leads?
It's an interesting question that I'm always battling with, you know, I think that's the main challenge of 2023 will be to kind of create that growth engine of lead generation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what I've been lucky in my past years to only rely on my network. It's basically people that worked with me in the past that either became owners or had decision making roles and just a network. It's in Montreal, like, it's a small community of digital experts, and I kind of know a lot of people for my geo market.
Mm-hmm.
And this is how I've been generating my clients since the beginning. I did do, because we're selling digital marketing, so I did do digital initiatives myself.
Mm-hmm.
It works well, but more for me, it's always been more a problem of production capacity more than a problem of lead gen. But now this year it's changing, because I had the idea that I didn't want to use, let's say, consultants to help us with production work and stuff like that, and that's something that I changed maybe a little bit too late in the game, but I decided to say, okay, you know what, now we're gonna say yes to the mandates that we're working with, and we're gonna find we're gonna have other than having a machine of growing leads, we're going to have a machine of growing talent. So the talent growing machine is way more important, in my opinion. So we've set that up, the growing talent machine, and that's working very well. So I'm able for a client to say, yes, I'm going to take your mandate. I got the team of expert, and and this is how this was a priority. But now the for next year, we're going to try to grow the sales machine.
Nice. I love it. Yeah, it can definitely be a huge challenge trying to balance that, you know, bringing in leads and then also having that talent. And it's a huge challenge that tons of agency owners deal with. So Remy, tell me, how do you maintain happy clients so that they're hopefully going to bring in referrals for you down the road?
Well, I'm like maintaining happy clients has always been the number one priority for us, along with maintaining happy employees. So they're on the same level, and maintaining happy clients. In our case, because we're a performance marketing agency, of course, the delivering on performance is gonna be one thing. So yeah, like, that needs to be kind of striked out of the way. This one needs to be like, we're delivering good performance. But
right.
That's not the main thing that we need to focus on. We need to have it. It's like a minimum requirement. We need to have some performance happening. And we need to kind of be, I would say, fair and straightforward with what we're going to deliver, what we can deliver, what we can't deliver. So
right.
by being very clear on the expectation, that's going to help us like maintain a good relationship, because it's a relationship based on performance. The clients are paying for performance, so we need to have that base kind of clear, you know? And that's like, once we get that out of the way, that's not the end for maintaining good relationships. It's basically having like a good communication going on with the client, so making sure that the client feels that we're almost like an extension of his own team, you know, that's like a sweet spot for us. And a lot of listening. So we have two ears and one mouth, and we need to listen to the client. What's the client's challenges? How can we help him with his challenge? And sometimes it goes out of the scope, you know. Sometimes it's like, oh, I need to hire some people. I'm like, sometimes it's just like, okay, like give me your job posting. I'll see if I can throw it on my in my network, you know. It's doing all these little extra stuff that would make a difference and making beyond like offering a service. It's also like developing a relationship. We really have to see it like that. Like we're offering a service, but we're developing partnerships and relationships, and we're nurturing them. Yeah.
I love that. And I think it's really cool that, you know, on top of, you know, offering your services, you're also just being genuinely helpful to your clients as well. You know, if they have something like you mentioned that goes outside of the scope of your typical services, you know, just offering the help, I think that makes a huge difference when you're building a relationship.
Yeah, like if you don't have the performance side of things, but you don't have the client happiness nurturing part of things, then you might lose a client because the client doesn't really understand what we're doing, you know, like, oh yeah, well, traffic is increasing. Well, that's good. Whatever, you know, but you need to have both working.
Yeah.
And I would even say that the second piece is way more important than the performance, the first piece, because if you do have a bad performance, sometimes you can save a client by having a good relationship.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's like, by building like the performance side, you're building on the trust of like the know, like, and trust factor. But by building that relationship, you're building the likability factor, which is so important as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. Interesting. Very good. So I'd love to know, you know, what has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've grown Turco Marketing, and how have you overcome that?
With growing an agency, and we've been always on a conservative side, there's a lot I can say on that, you know, like just we can say a lot, but let's say that when growing an agency, you're basically growing clients on one side and you're growing talent on the other, and you have to push on the talent, and then sometimes you have to push on the client generation side, and it's always like a balance like that.
Yeah.
And the challenge is to be able to scale without losing bits and pieces here and there. So a fail for me was at some point, like since the beginning. So we're on our seventh year now. So I think one of the challenges was to be able to scale the team, while scaling the clients, and at some point, like the team was probably like tired of the flatness of the growth, you know. Mm-hmm. And then I lost like some with the situation nowadays with how hard it is to keep talent, the lack of workforce in the digital field, it's not exception versus other industries. It's like there is a lack of workforce, so keeping the talent has been a very crazy hard challenge for me, but that was all good, because that made me second think how I was seeing like our conditions at the agency, and then like I had to get some advice from experts on that regard, and then they talked me about, okay, what's your company culture, for example. I was like, my company what? Like my company culture? I'm like, okay, well, gonna have to define it. And when I opened that box, I was like, oh my god, this is very important.
Yeah.
And that's something that I undersee for way too long, you know, and then I started to realize, oh my God, like we need to set this up. And then my shift was elsewhere. I was like working on, oh, how can we make our clients like even And then I was like completely forgetting about the company culture and all these things. And I was like, oh my God, we need insurance. We need conditions. We need to have a strict, we need to have a policy. We only have a written policy. So all these things that I've been implementing in the last years, that was like the challenge was to keep people on board, and then that the implementing a company culture was like the next big thing that I needed to work on. And so mm-hmm. I think I faced all the challenges that an agency can face, but definitely like the team, keeping the team excited has been a big one for me.
So how do you help to keep your team motivated and excited?
That's an ongoing question. It is so, it's such a challenge. Mm-hmm. So part of the things that we've implemented are on that regard. So first, setting a company promise, let's say, that is up to speed with the market is like the base. So good salaries, mm-hmm. good conditions, so work from home, always available for communication, so very accessible on Slack, call, Nana, so having like mm-hmm. Being able to connect with me or the chief of operation like is very, very key. Access to the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Then like having a plan for them, you know. So like we do have like OKRs, and we do run on a growth program that's called Traction, and we'll be able to talk about it later because you're gonna ask me about the books. Mm-hmm. We do have like all these things in place, but I like what motivates the team is sometimes like things that are not so it's not so much of like elements that I put in place more than an environment that I'm giving them so that they can thrive. So like having the access to training, the fact that they can interact and ask questions between each other, like to have these, we do like offsites, it's not a big thing, but we go around Montreal and we go have fun, you know, during work hours, you know, like we just take an afternoon and we just, hey, let's go to Chinatown, like whatever, you know, like we go wild with stuff like that, and that what makes people, I find, happy. And the fact that they have good condition, like a good salary and good vacation and a good plan, insurance and all that, that's out of the way. So like, and then the third part of the trifecta there is having a plan for them. So each 6 months we sit down, or I try, you know, sometimes it's hard, it's like 6 months, maybe 7 months, but we try to do it twice a year. Mm-hmm. And then I try to have a discussion with them on, like, look, you're currently like a SEO strategist, but do you want to be like a paid media strategist? And like, so giving the possibility to kind of grow in the company, but like in other departments or other. Giving the possibility of an employee to grow, and so that person can see like the there's a plan for them. That I think that's also like a something that can be a motivating. So all of that.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I love it. Yeah, just
that's the part that I can control. But after that, the part that I can control, it's letting go. You know, like if I would say like there's a fourth piece to this, mm-hmm. the part that I cannot control, it's their choice. You know, like they get hired, and if they say I want to be an owner, I want to basically give them the best career experience that they can have, like, the best possible career experience that they can have. And if they go elsewhere at the end of the day, I'm okay with that, and I embrace your choice. You know, it's basically like being able to say, I understand you have a lot of talent and you want to exploit it somewhere else, and it's okay. You know, like, I'm happy for you.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that way of thinking is so beneficial as well, because I think when you're able to say to yourself, you know, I've done the best I can do, then, you know, the rest is kind of out of your control. Sometimes it goes the way you want, sometimes it doesn't. But if you've, you know, done the best you can at the end of the day, then you have to accept that.
That's it. And you know, like, I'm not perfect. I'm trying my best to make that everyone that works for me is going to have like a very good experience because of that, you know, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And honestly, like, that makes me a bit sad when I'm seeing like that someone didn't like their experience because I was like, oh man, I did everything that I could. Like, what is, you know, when, and at this point, like, that part of things, you have to let it go. You cannot, like, sometimes there are things that you can control and you work on the things that you can control. And for the things that you can't control, you just be like, okay, so be it. Yeah. Let's move on.
Control your controllables. Awesome. So where do you see Turco Marketing in 5 years' time? What are your goals?
So like, we do have like since recently we've been implementing like a kind of a program, an acceleration program called Traction. It's like a book by Gino Wickman.
Yes, we use it with Ruby Robin as well, the EOS system.
So we've been on the EOS program, and so we're just starting on that.
Okay.
So we do have like a vision and like a 3-year plan and a 5-year target and all these things. So in 5 years, we hope to be one of the top 5 digital marketing agency in Canada. So like,
awesome.
we wish that. I would like to be, maybe it's not going to be happening the way that I think that it's going to be happening. But if that, my goal, my wish is, if you take someone that is in the, that's the CMO out there or someone that's a decision maker, and you ask him like or him or her, name me top 5 performance digital marketing agencies, let's say in Canada or in Quebec. I would like to be one of the fingers, you know. I would like
to
be
Yeah, love it. Super exciting. All right, Remy. Well, we are ready to move on to the fast five. So I have 5 rapid fire questions for you now. Are you ready? All right.
Yes, I am.
So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
Look.
That's love it. Such a good read.
So I do, like, if I have one, if I have 3 other choices, I do have this one. Ray Dalio, Principles.
Okay.
From Ray Dalio. I got Multipliers from Liz Wiseman.
Mm-hmm.
And the best one is this one. It's Good to Great.
Good to Great.
Jim Collins. Yeah.
Amazing. Great recommendations. Very good. And then tell us, what does your morning routine look like?
So being a father, my morning routine is very, very well structured. So I really wake up, wake up really early in the morning. I'm earlier than the average Joe, I think. I'm around 4 or 5 a.m. sometime I can wake up.
That is early.
And sometime, like, I will train a little bit. So a little bit of exercise to stimulate my body so that I can stimulate my mind later.
Mm-hmm.
So that can be, so I do a little bit of exercise, or I go to the pool, I go do a little bit of swimming. That's when I'm good. Sometime I have a lot on my plate, and I do like to power through some tasks. So, and I find that the morning is also a good moment for me, where I, when I have everything, I have my space to myself, and I don't have anyone calling me or stuff like that. So I have like the possibility of moving forward with a few things that are on my plate. Mm-hmm. And then my daughter wakes up, and then my job, I take this job, I throw it in the garbage, and then
you switch into dad mode,
and then that sticks all the way until I bring her to the daycare. Mm-hmm. And then my day starts at 9 at the office, and at 5 I'm out. So it's 9 to 5. Mm-hmm. And I do a little bit of work in the morning, sometime like 6 to 7, something like that. But mm-hmm. normally it's 9 to 5, and I stick to that.
Try to keep that structure. Okay, very good. And then is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Well, yeah, there's a lot of CEOs that are impressive, that I follow and I like to talk to as well, that I study. Yeah, like that I basically like to have discussions with them. So let's say, for example, like some agencies that are a little bit bigger in size, let's say in Montreal, and I like to have discussions with agency owners that are a little bit past there, they're a bit further, you know, mm-hmm. Down the road. So, but yeah, like for example, I'm this guy. He has like a Facebook ads agency, and it's really impressive what he's achieving. For example, he's called Antoine from G7. He's very, very good with his podcast. He set in place like a podcast. It's mm-hmm. called the Hyper Growth Podcast, and I follow it religiously. And I was like,
very cool.
Oh, wow, it's very impressive. What is this guy made as a kind of a growth curve for on the agency side, and also like. He's really, really humble in this. Someone that I've been able to talk to, and he gave me a few pointers with how to set myself on the track for growth. And
nice.
So I appreciate that. And yeah, other agencies there.
Very good. Okay. And then do you have a favorite online tool?
I do. I really like, for example, Supermetrics. Supermetrics
okay.
is a data collection, data connector, and data pulling SaaS. And we use extensively Google Sheet for reports. And also, I kind of hack Google Sheet. Supermetrics. I hack it on Google Sheet for various operations, and mm-hmm. and yeah, like I've been able to run my business with a very, very small marketing stack.
Awesome. Very good. And then, so last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
It's honestly like probably everyone's going to tell you that, but if I had the possibility to go back in the past, which I'm not this kind of guy, I embrace the journey, so I'm not mm-hmm. really like into that. But if I had someone that would have tell me like, do not underestimate the importance of setting a culture, company culture, and also like to set, let's say, like an expectation for the team and a mm-hmm. vision for the team. You know, like I think that like on the vision side, and also like I needed to, if I would have set that up in the early on, I would have probably been like bigger today. But I rarely look at the past like that.
Yeah, no, it's really good advice though, for sure. So yeah, just dial in those goals and focus, you know, where you want to be growing and building that culture, it's definitely so important.
There's another one if you want. Like, I've been stubborn on using consultants for starting. Mm-hmm. Where I was like, oh, I'm just gonna not take the client, and that I think that was a mistake. I should have said like, I'm gonna grow my network of consultants, and I'm gonna take on the clients, and I'll manage it later. But yeah, maybe like growing the consultant side of things, or the freelance partners would have been a good idea, that I would have tackled that earlier. I'm a big believer, right. And I'm right where I need to be at the right time, in the present.
Absolutely. Yeah, definitely. Awesome. Well, Remy, thank you so much for joining me for today's episode. It was a pleasure to learn about your journey of starting and growing Turco Marketing. So thank you again for being today's guest.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.